Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
For the Lord, the very praise of thanksgiving. God, we thank you for your blessing. I thank you, Lord, that you did wake me up this morning and you did start me on my way. Lord, that you've given me daily bread, that you've given me divine protection, that you've given me special provision. I praise you, Lord. I glorify you. I magnify you, Lord. I feel your spirit in this house right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I live in daily blessing. Jesus called it daily bread. Some people live with an occasional blessing in their life, but there is a place where you can live from faith to faith and victory to victory. The key to that continual blessing, the apostle said, I pray that your faith, Jesus said, I pray that your fruit will remain. There is a key to that remaining fruit. There is a key to that faith to faith and victory to victory and blessing heaped upon blessing. And that is, for what the Lord has done, you will be grateful. When you have ingratitude in your heart and you ignore the blessings of God, it can shut down the fruit. It can shut down the blessing. But if you will be thankful for what God has done, and you'll be verbal and vocal and profuse in your praise to God, you can depend that the greater is on the way, that God's got something bigger in store for you. For he is a God that desires to praise those that worship him, to bless those that worship him. And he's in this house right now. He's in this house right now. Something big is on the way. Something big is on the road to recovery. Restoration is a factor in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I did not intend to do this, but I had several people ask me to, so I'm going to continue where I was on Wednesday night. God's promise for a strong finish, part two. A new text, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. If he has begun it in you, he will finish it. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, cast not away your confidence. People can encourage you. People can strengthen you. But ultimately, it is you that decides whether you are confident. Confident in your creation, confident in your calling, confident in your profession, confident in the way that you are going to continue and the way you're going to finish. You know, it really doesn't matter where you start. It only matters where you finish. We have no choice and we have no input on where we start. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your birthplace. You didn't choose your lineage. You had nothing to do with your beginning, but you have everything to do with your finish. At the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, no one knew who Billy Mills was. But if you knew his story, you would have been amazed that he was there. His name was featured among the runners of the 10,000 meter race, but he was not a favorite. In fact, nobody even knew who he was or why he was there. He was no rising star. He was not even a high achiever. He was a person that got there almost by chance, but he really got there because of desire. He was born on an American reservation. He was a Native American. By the time he was 10 years old, he was an orphan. Both of his parents were dead, and he was abandoned. He lived in abject poverty on the reservation. Didn't have a television, but somehow somebody gave him an old book, and that old book was about the Olympics. And as a 10-year-old boy, he made up his mind the way off the reservation and the way to succeed in life was to become an Olympian star. And so he began to run everywhere he went on the reservation. He ran all the time. He ran so much that they took note of how skilled he was. He went to high school and got a high school education. They scouted him. He was given a scholarship to go to college, and he was very good on that. in that college program, but then he joined the Marines. And there in the Marines, he became an outstanding runner. And so as a last minute, he was a fill-in that the military needed to place in the Olympics. Didn't have a chance, they didn't think, but he went anyway. And it was amazing because he entered the 10,000-meter race. Nobody even knew who he was. When he came off the starting blocks, he was dead last. When the race ended, he was number one. He had finished. The first question they asked him, the reporter, was, "Who are you? What's your name? And where did you come from?" Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you make up your mind to finish strong, somebody's going to ask, "Who are you?" You are the one that decides who you are, not where you were born or not where you began, but where you finish. In 2012, President Obama awarded him with the highest medal that a civilian can have. He's the only person in America that has ever gotten a gold medal for the 10,000-meter race. And it all happened from a little orphan boy because he just wouldn't stop. My question today is, are we going to blame our beginning, or are we going to determine our mind? I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to achieve something in life, not only in this life, in the life to come. So many people are afraid. Fear is a damning effect. It will paralyze you, freeze you in place, and if that doesn't happen, it will cause you to panic and run a long way in the wrong direction. When you see people on television, their life is in total disarray. They might be violent. They might be lawbreakers. They might be doing all kinds of things. They might be under arrest. But I can tell you, the seed of their destruction started in fear. And friend, if you don't know that there is a God that created you in His image, you might think that you're an accident. You might think the fact that you started last on the totem pole is somehow going to doom you to a life of defeat. But if you know there is a God that saw you from the beginning and created you in His image, and nothing can hold back somebody that has confidence, that simply says, "I will." I never will forget hearing Oprah Winfrey talk about her success. And she said, "Here's the key." She said, "You simply got to get out of the atmosphere you're in." She said, "I don't care what it is, get out of an atmosphere you're in. If it's an atmosphere of defeat, if it's an atmosphere of poverty, whatever it is." And if you read her story, it's a terrible, terrible story at the beginning, how she was sexually abused by so many different family members and friends. But she made up her mind, "I'm going to finish strong." Fear is simply the absence of faith. If you're afraid today, it's because you simply don't believe that God's on your side. You don't believe that God cares. You don't believe that God knows you. You don't believe that God's got a future for you. But as sure as I stand here, I believe that I'm on God's radar. I believe God knows me by name. I believe God loves me unequivocally. I believe the Lord will do whatever is necessary if I have the desire to make me win and not lose, to finish strong. I believe God will fight my foes if I will trust in Him. But if you succumb to fear, you will stay in the boat. You'll stay in the back of the bus. You'll stay at the end of the line. You'll stay in your poverty. You'll stay in your sin if you live in fear. If you read the story of Peter and the disciples on the sea, when Jesus Christ came walking on the sea, the Bible said they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Everybody that comes to Christ must, number one, overcome their fear. I can tell you, as a young boy, even raised in church, when that moment came that God spoke to me and called me to give my life to Him, that fear was a palpable thing. I could feel it. I could sense it. I was scared nearly to death the day I walked the aisle for the very first time and gave my life to Christ. If you are going to come to Jesus Christ, if you're going to start and finish strong, you have to come to Christ. In order to do that, you have to overcome your fear. Coming to Christ is a supernatural experience. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's supernatural. When you stand up to say, I'm going to give my life to Christ, every demon out of hell arrays itself against you. But a person that makes up their mind to come to Christ has all of heaven at their disposal. And so if you will simply say, yes, I'm coming to Jesus Christ, no matter what friends, family, or foe says, I'm coming to Jesus Christ. To begin, you must overcome your fear. Jesus said to those cowering and fearful disciples in the boat that day, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. No matter where you are today in life's journey, if you will realize the promise of God is not just for the masses, but it's to you individually, and particularly, it's to you solo, it's to you individually. If you will realize that, there ought to rise up in the place of fear a great joy and say, of all the people in the universe, God has reached out his index finger of redemption and pointed at me and said, you, I want you to make your start right now because I've got a big plan for you. What I will begin in you this day, I will finish in you in a big, big way. One of the first things Jesus wants us to do is to turn our fear into joy. But Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Jesus is willing to prove himself by empowering us to do things we normally couldn't do. We normally could not do certain things. But if we will say yes to the Lord will empower us to do things that we normally could not do. You've heard me tell a dozen times about my first sermon as a teenage boy, how I fainted halfway through that sermon and they carried me out of the auditorium. That ought to be proof to you that I'm not a natural born preacher or a natural born pastor. I'm doing things that I could not naturally or normally do. But God empowers me every day. And I don't care what the limitations in your life are. If you have a desire to finish strong, God will empower you supernaturally to do things that you're not naturally equipped to do. Jesus is willing to empower you today. And he said to Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Our strong finish is jeopardized when we lose sight of Jesus and look at the storms of life. God has called so many of you to do so many things in life. But if you're not very careful, even though you've begun great now and you've changed in your life, you'll be like Peter. The Bible said he saw the winds boisterous and he was afraid. He went from fear to joy back to fear. Just because you get saved does not mean that you will never revisit the cavern of fear. It has a tendency to sneak back up on you in midlife. It has a tendency to come back even after you have accomplished great things. It looks like about 3 or 4 steps out of that boat, Peter would have been saying, look at me. Look what I have done through the power of Christ. I am well able. Do you ever count your blessings? Do you ever say, look how far the Lord has brought me? Peter forgot about how far the Lord had brought him out of the boat, and he began to look at the wind and the waves and the storm, and when he did, he began to sink. And so when we think of Peter walking on the water, we don't so much think about the fact that he's the only person that is recorded except Christ that has done that. We think about the fact that he did not finish strong. He sank. But there is really a strong finish to this because as he began to sing, he did the one thing that I've had to do countless times in my life. The Bible said he called out to Christ. It could have been worse. He could have drowned. But he called out to Christ, and Christ took him by the hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you this. If you will get out of the boat, God will make sure that you get to him one way or another. You might walk to him or you might walk by holding his hand, but he's going to make sure that you do not drown. The Lord is on your side. You see, when we lose our vision, we have jeopardy of failing. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, when he said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." If thy eye be single, you've got to get your focus on the main thing. Keep the main thing, somebody said. Get your eye on the main thing. Get focused on it. You can't be looking, I said it Wednesday night, if you look continually at the critics or those that would brag on you in the crowd and get your eye off the finish line, you probably won't finish very well. You see, the devil doesn't care why you stop. If you stop to fight with somebody that is critical in the crowd, you won't get to the finish line. If you stop to let somebody brag on you and shake your hand, you won't get to the finish line. You're not called to react to those that criticize you or those that brag on you. You are called to finish strong. Finish strong. If you stop to throw a rock at every dog that barks, I promise you, you're not going to finish strong. You've got to put your eye on the finish line. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said the single eye. Henry Ford said, "Obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off of the goal." If you put your eyes on Jesus, and you put your eyes on the finish line where Christ stands and where he's calling you to, you won't see all those waves. You won't see all that wind. You won't see all that white cap. You won't see all those critics. You won't see all of those negative things because your eye is on the target. Your eye is on the goal. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and 9, verse 9 and 10. It's a very short story, but it's a big story. It is about the Israelites, and the Israelites had gone to fight the battle. And while they were gone, the Philistines had circled around behind them and attacked their camp. And the only people that were there were the women and the children and a few people that were sick. What Eliezer was doing there, I don't know. He must have had a bad day. He must have been a little handicapped. He must have been a little sick. Some reason he was still at the camp while all of the other soldiers were out fighting. You might feel like you've been left behind, but it could be that you've been positioned where you are for a purpose. Eleazar was not left behind. He was positioned by Almighty God to be there with the women and the children while the other soldiers were out fighting. And the Bible said it this way. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Just having a dad named Dodo is enough to make you doubt yourself. But the Bible said he was one of the three mighty men with David. And they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And when the soldiers returned, all that was left was the spoil, or other words, the gold, the silver, and the weaponry that the Philistines had had. It came because of one man that simply would not quit. He was seemingly outnumbered, but he would not quit. The Bible said he fought all day with that sword until his hand literally became a part of that sword and he could not let it go. Friend, you really don't have this thing mastered until the Word of God becomes a part of you. You don't have this thing mastered until praise becomes a part of you. Until it's second nature to lift up the Lord Jesus. Until it's second nature to quote the Scripture. Until it's second nature to praise the Lord. Friend, I'm going to tell you there's a place where you can get in the Lord when you make up your mind. I'm not going back. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. I got in this thing to finish, and I'm going to finish big, and I'm going to finish strong. I am going to finish. There is a place where you get that it literally becomes your second nature to do the right thing. In the time of trouble, you don't complain, but you praise. In the time of attack, you don't fear, but you faith it out. In the time of trouble, you say, "The Lord is my helper." In the time when Satan Satan presents himself, you say, it is written. The Word of God says I'm the Son of God, and you can't bring me down, because it has been designated by God that what he has begun in me, he will finish. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord's in this house today, and God's got a word for somebody. You see, there's a lot of change goes on in this world all the time. But you have to remember that the captain and the host of our salvation is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. There is no variableness in our God. It's all right to change some trends and some fashions. It's all right to have different kinds of music at different times. But there are some basics that simply cannot change if you are going to finish strong. Tim Duncan was one of the greatest basketball players that's ever played in the NBA. He was not flashy. A lot of people did not take note of him. But he was known as the big fundamental. In other words, he did the basic things right all the time. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the Bible warns us in Jude about falling stars. They come into the body of Christ and they make a big splash. They sing louder. They talk louder. Their testimony is more specific than other people's. But then after a while, you don't see them anymore. They're falling stars. But there are some people that have got the fundamentals exactly correct. And that means that they will finish strong. Prayer never changes. I heard somebody say the other day, a preacher, he said, don't ever repent. He said, that's an affront to God. No, that statement is an affront to the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about repentance. It's about telling God you made a mistake and calling on His help in the time of need. There are some things that never change. Repentance and prayer never changes. Somebody told me the other day about a great church with a great history, has a new pastor, and when people begin to praise God, he walked out of the pulpit and went down and spoke to them and said, we don't do that anymore. It might be offensive to somebody. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is offensive. When you begin to praise and worship God and magnify God, you will offend the heathen, you will offend the sinner, you will offend the rebellious, you will offend the anti-God. But if you hold your peace, David said, when I held my peace, my bones wax old. When you hold your peace, it might not be offensive to the sinner and the rebellious, but when you hold your peace, it is offensive to the Christ that died on the cross for you. It is offensive to Jehovah God that created you from the beginning of time. It's offensive to the Holy Spirit that walks these aisles today, putting his hand on your elbow and say, please raise your hands to the risen Christ. I don't care about offending man. I don't do it purposely, but if my allegiance to God and my praise to my Savior offends you, you'll just have to be offended, because I've got a plan in mind. I've been on the journey a while. I've ran a while, but never let it be said about me, you ran well. What hindered you? I want them to say, he runs as an old man like he did when he was a young man. He's a modern day Caleb. He says, give me this mountain. The Lord is on my side. What he has done, he'll do again. He was my God in my youth, and he'll be my God in my old age. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. The Lord is a mighty God, and we are going to keep the basics in this church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I would rather be inoffensive to the Lord than I would offend a millionaire that is contemplating membership in this church. Because a millionaire is extremely limited. $1 million is just not enough. How much does it take for you to sell out? How much does it take for you to stop your race? What can the heckler in the crowd say that will cause you to break stride? Who in the crowd can compliment you so much that you will have to stop your race and shake their hand to receive their accolades. Nobody, nothing. I've got to run the race. I'm going to see Him face to face. He is my soon coming God. He is my soon coming Lord. He is my soon coming King. I'm going to praise Him no matter who it offends. I'm going to preach the Word of God no matter who it offends. I will finish strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. This Bible is full of stories of people that finish strong. Gideon. In his old age, give me this mountain. It's the declaration of an old man finishing strong. There shall be light in the evening time. It's the declaration of a prophet finishing strong. The sower shall overtake the reaper. It is a declaration of a man of God saying the end shall be greater than the beginning. Old men shall dream dreams. It is the declaration of an aged patriarch saying, I still have my dream, and the Lord of my youth is still the God of my life. He is the same God. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. It is a declaration that the church of the living God is not going to wimp out. The church of the living God is not going to drift off. The church of the living God is going to have its greatest glory in the last moments when Christ ascends, descends to catch His bride away. We are going to be a mighty army with banners. We're going to be a militant, miraculous army of Almighty God. The table is set. The age is ready for the church of the living God to be the church. We cannot requite ourselves. We cannot dismiss miracles. We cannot dismiss the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot homogenize ourselves with other religions. We've got to declare that only Jesus is the Lord. The glory of the latter house determines on us making sure that Jesus is the Lord of the latter house. And that Jesus is the Lord of this house. He is the one that saved us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that sent His Holy Spirit. He's the one that keeps us in the palm of His hand. He's the one that comforts us when we are sad. He's the one that empowers us when we are weak. He is the one that gives us joy when we are sad. He is the one that heals us when we are sick. He is the one that causes us to walk when we are lame. He is the one that causes us to be righteous when we would fall. What a mighty God! The Jesus of the former house is the Jesus of the latter house. And He's in this room today, and all He wants is your praise and your worship and your glory. Can you give it to Him right now? Can you give praise to Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. We are going to finish strong. You can read in the book of Acts. You can read in the Bible. Or you can go back in the history of the church 200 years ago and read about great men. You can read about Smith Wigglesworth. You can read about Mr. Parham in Los Angeles and the great miracles they did 150 years ago or 120 years ago. But friend, I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, the latter rain is greater than the former rain. You ain't seen nothing yet. My God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. There is going to be a manifestation of the latter rain like you've never seen. It's going to be so intense and so dense that people will not even be able to minister. We will just come into God's presence, and it will come like billowing waves over this congregation with people screaming out of their pews, I've just been healed by the power of God. I've just been saved by the blood of Jesus. I've just been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. We are going to finish strong. Would you stand to your feet, please? There are a lot of people that are not here that should be. My friend Darlene Bishop travels the world. She said, Steve, night before last, I don't know what's going on. said, when I go to churches on Wednesday night that used to have hundreds, they won't have 75 people there. She said, when I go to churches that used to run 2,000 or 3,000 on Sunday, they'll have 200 or 300. And there is in the voice and the heart of some a despair. But friend, I am confident that the church is going to finish strong. A lot of people that have gone away, there's a pattern for them. And that is the great man of God fallen prey to the devil by the name of Samson. At the last moment, his hair grew back. And the Bible simply has this epitaph that he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. The death symbolizes the end, and his strength was there in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, we that remain faithful need to pray for those that have gotten fearful. Those that are steadfast need to pray for those that have fallen away. Those that are spiritual need to pray for those that are carnal. Those that have got their eye on the finish line need to pray for those that are looking around and they're not in God's kingdom, not just in this church, but around the globe. But there are going to be things happen. I told Pastor Brandon this week, I said, as terrible as Sutherland Springs is, and it's one of the greatest tragedies I've ever been acquainted with, it's not the worst to come. The devil is being given a place in this country, in this world. When you apparel yourself in hatred, it gives the devil a place. The Bible said, give the devil no place. To all of you people that hated Obama, shame on you. To all you people that hate Trump, shame on you. All of you people that are disloyal to this great nation, shame on you. We might not have our candidate in the White House or the State House or the Congress or on the school board. That's not the point. We've got to make our school as good as we can for our children. We've got to have our state as good as we can for its citizenry. We've got to have our nation as strong as we can. I ask you to divorce yourself from hatred, whatever it is, because the devil loves hatred. He walks in on it like it's a freeway. And as long as we have the hatred we have in America, we're going to see Sutherland Springs and New York and Vegas repeated over and over again. We've got to rise up. When my people are called by my name, shall pray and call on heaven, then will I heal their land. Friend, I want to tell you, I am not despondent. I just know that there's got to be some changes made in the human heart for God to be able to do what he's doing. But it's going to happen no matter what it takes. God is intent on a strong finish for his people. And he will do it with the carrot. And if he has to do it, he'll do it with a stick. But he's going to have a church. It's going to be a mighty church. It's going to be a glorious church. This church is going to finish strong. And I'm not going to sit on the sidelines to see what happens. Praise God. I'm going to lead the parade. I'm going to stand fast. I'm going to keep my eye on Jesus. I'm going to keep praising God. I'm going to keep glorifying God. I'm going to keep preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to keep demanding that we allow the Holy Ghost to move like he wants to move. We're not going to censor ourselves because somebody is offended. We are going to preach Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the only way, the only Lord, the only Savior. And we are here today to give God praise. Would you do that right now?